Last week, we began a new study called Growing Up. Growing Up. And we're not talking about chronological growth. We're not talking about natural growth in years, but we're talking about growing up spiritually. Say it with me today. Growing up spiritually. All right, we can compare spiritual growth to natural growth. And, you know, in the natural, there's people out there that are 30 years old. You know, there's men out there that are 30 and 40 years old, but on the inside, they're just little boys. Chronologically, they've grown up, but they're small, they're young on the inside. And there's women out there that are, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old, but on the inside, they're still a little girl. And it's, it can be the same way in the spiritual realm. You may have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and your Lord maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and maybe 10 or 15, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and maybe you're still a spiritual toddler. And it's sad. In the church, you find people all the time. You may find people here at John 3:16 that years ago accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but they're still spiritual infants, spiritual toddlers. But the word today is this, is that God is wanting us to grow up spiritually in our walk with Him. Do you agree with that today? Say it again. God is wanting us to go from spiritual toddlerhood to spiritual adulthood in our walk with Him. And last week we talked about one of the elements, one of the spiritual disciplines for growing up spiritually in our walk with God. And it was reading the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Think of it this way. The B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. And we talked about how the Bible helps us grow up spiritually, matures us into spiritual adulthood. Number one, the Bible reveals the nature of God. It communicates in from Genesis to Revelation that God is a God of love. And basically, this Bible, all right, is an autobiography of God. And as you study it, so if you study the autobiography of a person, of a famous person, or their biography, you read about them and you meditate on them, you start taking on that person's characteristics. Well, when you read the autobiography of God, the Bible, you start taking on the nature and the characteristics of God. Is that making sense? You start becoming more like God. The Word of God also reveals the voice of God to us. So say, for instance, in the natural, you're in relationship with a person, another human being, who is speaking into your life and you're hearing their voice. You eventually start thinking like that person, taking on that person's thought patterns. It's the same way with the Word of God. The Word of God is God's voice speaking to us. As you read it, as you meditate upon it, you start hearing the voice of God more and more. You start taking on the characteristics and the nature of God. Is that making sense? The last thing we talked about is that the Word of God helps us fight spiritual temptation. The one thing the devil hates most is the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, he tempted Jesus three times. And every time Jesus spoke the written word, and it says that the devil fled. So I encourage you to get into the Word of God on a consistent basis. The more you get into the Word of God, the more you become like God, and the more you become like God and the nature of God, the more you grow spiritually. You start becoming more of a spiritual adult. Making sense today? All right. We're going to talk about another spiritual discipline, another way to grow spiritually in our relationship with God, and it's called fellowship. My question to you today is this, friend. Who are you hanging out with? Let me ask you again. Who are you hanging out with on a consistent basis? Who are you fellowshipping with day in and day out? You know, the people that you fellowship with can either take you up or take you down in your spiritual walk with God. The people that you're spending a lot of time with can either take you down or they can take you up in your spiritual walk with God. See, the people that you hang around with and that you fellowship with, that you open up your heart to, can either weaken or strengthen your walk with God. Fellowship is vital and important. Would you agree? All right. If you're serious about strengthening your walk with God and Christ, let me ask you this. What business do you have fellowshipping with those who are not serious about God? Now, how many here today are serious about strengthening their walk with God? How many here today are serious about growing up spiritually in their walk with God? becoming a spiritual adult. Anybody here in the room, raise your hand if you want to grow in Christ. So my question to you is then, what business do you have fellowshipping, spending a lot of time with those who are not serious about God? Those who are not followers of Christ? Because we become like those that we hang around with, believe it or not. Now, let's go to some scriptures concerning fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you got a Bible, if not, I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. These are scriptures on fellowship. Paul the Apostle is writing to the Corinthians, and he writes this. He says in verse 14, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." And it speaks to us today. If you're a believer, he's telling us today, don't be yoked together in fellowship with unbelievers. "For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?" So let's go back to verse 14. He says, "For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness?" What fellowship can light have with darkness? Now imagine this room here, pitch dark at 12 midnight, right? The lights are out, it's pitch dark. As soon as you turn on the light switch, what happens? The darkness is dispelled, right? It's gone. Because light and darkness cannot coexist. Light and darkness cannot coexist. He's saying in the same way, one who calls himself a believer in Jesus Christ really cannot coexist or fellowship with a non-believer. Somebody who is a lover of God, claims to be a lover of God, really can't coexist and fellowship with somebody who is a rebel of God. Does that make sense? He makes the comparison. He said, "What fellowship can light have with darkness?" If we are children of the light, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," right? John writes in 1 John 1:5 that God is light. In him, there is no darkness. So if we're followers of the light, followers of God, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, what business do we have fellowshipping, trying to coexist with darkness, those who are involved with deeds of darkness? Now, listen to this. If you find yourself drawn into fellowship with the ungodly, you might say that you're a follower of Christ. You might say that you're a lover of God. But if you find yourself drawn into fellowship with the ungodly and non-believers in Christ, if you feel comfortable, for instance, hanging around those that cuss, if you feel comfortable and drawn to those who abuse drugs and alcohol, if you feel comfortable with those that are into immorality, that tell dirty jokes, if you feel comfortable and you're drawn to those who are doing things that are not godly, you need to ask yourself, am I really serious about God? Does that question make sense? Let me say it again. If you feel comfortable and drawn into relationship with those who are not godly, with those who are telling dirty jokes, you know, with those who are drinking, getting drunk, those who are abusing drugs, those who are looking at things they shouldn't be looking at, those who are going to palm readers, if you're spending a lot of time with these people and you feel comfortable with them, you need to ask yourself, am I really serious about God? And the light should go on. Something is wrong here in my spiritual walk with God. Why is it that I feel comfortable with those who are involved with the deeds of darkness? So that should be an indicator to you that something needs to change, that you need to start becoming serious about God, serious about your walk with Christ. Amen? Amen. Because if you're truly, some people believe in Christ. You might believe in Christ, but the question is, are you a follower of Christ? You may believe in God, you may believe that God exists, but are you truly on the inside, deep down on the inside, a lover of God? Because if you are, then you're going to be holy as God is holy. That's what the Word tells us. If you're of the light, you're going to do things that are of the light. You're going to hang around people that are strong spiritually, that will lift you up, that will build you up in your spiritual walk with God. And then he goes on to say in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 6, What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? See, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul writes that we are the temple of God. Friend, you are, as a believer in Christ, you are the temple of God. In the Old Testament, what was the temple? It was what? It was a physical structure. And the Spirit of God was in the Holy of Holies. But in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, where is the temple of God? It's in us. It's you and me. You are, as if you're a true believer, follower of Christ, then you are the temple of God. And he says, for we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Let me read it again. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Friend, there is great danger in fellowshipping with those immersed in darkness. We say it again, there is great danger for you if you're fellowshipping with those who are of the darkness, who do not love God, who are not followers of Christ. Because if you fellowship with them, you're hanging around with them, you're spending a lot of time with them, then guess what? Their ways, their words, their thoughts will become yours. Now, let me read this quote to you. Let me read this quote to you. And it says this. It says, I thought it was a really good quote, it says, from Tina Steem, choose friends with care. Choose friends with care. You become what they are. Birds of a feather do what? They flock together. Now, let me ask you this. If somebody has HIV, they're AIDS infected. It's a person of the opposite sex. And you become physically intimate with that person. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You can receive that HIV, right? You can become infected with their HIV. Their HIV becomes yours, right? It's the same way spiritually. If you're dealing with people who have like spiritual HIV, they're of the darkness, and you're hanging around them, and you're talking with them, and you're spending time with them, you're opening up your heart to them, then what? Their spiritual HIV can be transmitted to you. Their thoughts, their words, their ways become your thoughts, words, and ways. It just rubs off on you. Let me ask you this. How many want God, who is light, to walk amongst them? What does he say in 2 Corinthians 6:16? He says, God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. How many here want God to walk amongst them? How many here want God to walk amongst them, to fellowship with them? To be in your life, in your heart, in your home, in your room, right by you with your, you know, where your mat is. How many here want God to walk amongst them like God walked amongst Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden? How many want God to walk amongst them? How many want God to be around them? I do. I want God to be around me. I want God to be in my life. I want God to be in my home. I want God to be the center of everything I do. And if that's the case, I've got to be careful with whom I associate. I've got to be associating with people who are followers of God, lovers of God, people who are of the light. And it's got to be the same way with you. Because God, who is light, cannot coexist with darkness, with deeds of darkness and unholiness. The two don't mix. You see, the closer you get to the deeds of darkness, to hanging around with people who are ungodly, are rebellious against God, the further God gets away from your life. But the closer you get to people who really love God and really love Christ, the closer God becomes to you. He will walk amongst you, as the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:16. And for instance, say you overcame alcohol at some point in the past. But once a month, you're going to parties where they're drinking alcohol, and it's a temptation, and you start drinking a little bit, and then you fall back into it. Well, you know what? You're doing what's unholy with your life, but you fell back into it because you're fellowshipping with people who are dealing with that sin. Make sense? Maybe you overcame a drug addiction, but you're hanging around every so often, and you're spending a lot of time with somebody who's immersed in a drug addiction. If you keep hanging around with that person and fellowshipping with them, eventually you'll be tempted to start using drugs again. And the closer you get to the deeds of darkness, the further away God gets, because God, who is light, cannot coexist with darkness. But if you want to overcome and you want to make sure that you stay away from the drugs and the alcohol, then stay with people, associate with people, fellowship with people who are not doing those things, who are not abusing drugs and alcohol and looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. Is that making sense? Your associations, your fellowship, the people you build close ties to, it is very important in your spiritual growth with God. Amen? Now, I'm not saying just cut everybody off totally. Let me give you this note, this side note here. Say you've got 10 hours every week after work, after John 3:16, you've got 10 hours a week to hang out with people. So you've got 10 hours a week, right, to hang out with people. Out of those 10 hours, you can spend 25% or 30% of those hours reaching out to somebody who's less fortunate than you, who's weaker than you spiritually. You might buy them a cup of coffee or lunch, or tell them that God loves them. Speak a scripture into their life. Hand them a Christian tract. Speak something good into them. You know, just give them a hug and say, I believe in you and God believes in you and God loves you. You can reach out for so many hours a week, but the majority of the hours you have to hang out with people should be with people who are stronger than you spiritually. Right? Stronger than you spiritually, because if you're associating with those stronger spiritual people, they will pick you up. They will help grow you in your walk with God. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul writes, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. What does it mean to you that bad company corrupts good character? What does that mean? Bad company corrupts good character. What does that mean to you? That bad characters, if you're fellowshipping with them, can corrupt you, can bring you down, can adulterate you spiritually. But on the other hand, vice versa is true, right? That good company, godly company does what? What does it do? Godly friends, people who are stronger than you spiritually, can enhance and improve your character, your spiritual walk with God. Amen? You agree with that? Okay. There's a movie out there called Touch the Top of the World. Anybody ever see it? Hear about it? Touch the Top of the World? Touch the Top of the World. If you ever have a chance, rent it. It's an excellent movie. It's about a man named Eric Weinmeier, the first blind man to climb Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. Could you believe that? A blind man summiting, climbing, reaching the top of the tallest mountain in the world. How did he do it? As you watch the movie, there's a key element there as to why he was able to summit the mountain. It was very difficult. Very difficult getting up there. It's very difficult for a person who can see to summit that mountain, let alone a person who is blind. This man was blind, the first blind man to climb Mount Everest. How did he do it? How did he get to the top? If you watch the movie. He had a guide, and he also had people around him to support him, to encourage him, to tell him that he could do it. He had a good base of support, good fellowship. He was able to reach the top of the mountain. How many here want to reach the top of the mountain in your life? Want to reach the top of the mountain in your walk with God? How many want to reach the top in your spiritual walk with God? How many want to go into spiritual adulthood from spiritual toddlerhood? Well, guess what? You've got to do what Eric Weinmeier did in the movie Touch the Top of the World. You've got to associate with a network of people who are stronger than you spiritually. It's not going to happen otherwise, I'm telling you. If you're hanging around and fellowshipping with people who are weak, who are doing ungodly things, speaking ungodly things, telling nasty jokes, you know, looking at things they shouldn't be looking at, going to fortune tellers, you're hanging around those people and they're speaking into your life, you're going to become like them. They can destroy you spiritually. And a lot of people don't see how vital this is, but it really is, friends. Start finding those who can help you spiritually. Now, in what ways could you find these people? In what ways could you find these people to hang out with? You might be thinking today, well, how do I find these godly, these strong spiritual people? Where do I find them at? Where could you find them at? There's places you can find them at.
Church.
All right, church is good. Anybody else? Any other ideas? Churches. You can find them in these Bible studies. You can go to churches that have connect groups, that have small groups, Bible studies. You can get involved with people in those Bible studies, right? Find people that are strong spiritually. Try to build a relationship with them. You know, fellowship with them, and they'll rub off on you in a good way. Find them at Bible studies. You can find them at churches. You can find them here at John 3:16. How about some of the staff here at the mission? How about some of the staff people here at the mission that you can talk to, associate with, build relationship with? They can help you. Everybody here, all the staff here, they're strong Christians. They're close to Christ. This is a Christ-centered mission, shelter. Amen? Get to know some of the staff here at John 3:16. And what could you do with these people to grow spiritually? What are some of the things you can do? You can do what? You can pray with them. You can pray with them, right? Making sense? Family that prays together, stays together. If you pray with them, you'll stay close to God, stay close to the family of God, all right? You can do Bible studies with them. You can study the Word with them. You can do outreach with them. Go out for a couple of hours a week and reach out to those who are less fortunate than you. There's somebody tonight who's sleeping under a bridge. You've got the shelter, but there's somebody out there under a bridge. Reach out to that person. Connect with this person who's stronger than you spiritually and go out and minister. It's going to grow you up in your walk with God. Amen?
Amen?
The people you hang around with are vitally important, friend, and you will become like the people with whom you associate. Let me ask you again today, how many here want to grow in their walk with God? How many want to grow in their walk with Christ? Anybody else? Okay. Well, you really got to start considering the people that you fellowship with, that you hang around with, that you spend a lot of time with. Amen? Because you will become like them. And today is the start of a new beginning for you in this area. Just start praying to God and saying, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I don't know where these people are. They're out there, but I don't know exactly where they are. God, I pray that you bring a person or persons into my life that I can form a friendship with. Somebody, God, who is a true lover of you. Somebody, God, who is not only a believer in Christ, but is a follower of Christ. God, I want to connect with these people. And as you do so, you're going to start growing by leaps and bounds in your walk with Christ. So that in the future, you can start helping out people who are in the same position that you're in today.